This is Bootstrapped Web, episode 72. It's the podcast for you, the founder who learns by doing as you bootstrap your business online. And today we're just doing a bit of an update episode, and we'll catch up on what Jordan is up to and what I'm working on. Hey, if you host a podcast and the editing and production work is taking up all of your time and energy and you just want to focus on creating, then you've got to head over to podcastmotor.com. They're our sponsor today, and they offer complete podcast editing and production service. So here's how it works. Basically, you just hit record and record your episode, and then Podcast Motor will edit all the audio. They'll listen to your content, and so they'll edit it for all the content and take out the ums and the pauses and all that. They do complete audio engineering, get it sounding great. They write the detailed show notes. They'll actually listen and get all the links in there in your blog post. They'll create custom artwork. They'll publish the episode. They'll sync up the music, get it all sounding great and polished like a real professional podcast. We actually use Podcast Motor here on Bootstrapped Web. We highly recommend them. They've been doing a fantastic job. So if you're interested in this, head over to podcastmotor.com. Tell them that Bootstrapped Web sent you there, and they'll hook you up. So as always, I am Brian.
And I'm Jordan. Very nice to see you, Brian.
Yep. Good to see you again, sir.
Yeah. So here's like my theme for the week. I came across a very timely article. I think the title was something to the effect of "Stop saying you're busy."
Yeah.
Because I found myself just that is my default. Hey, how's it going? You know, overwhelmingly busy. And that's just a really boring reply. So I'm trying to refrain from describing myself as busy because everyone's busy.
I know.
So I'm just like dealing with it differently.
I've been doing a lot of that myself lately. I mean, frankly, I am really, really busy. Everybody listening to this is probably always super busy. I know. But I feel like there are 1,000 things hitting my plate every single day, and it's driving me a little bit crazy, but that's how it goes.
It's a challenge, and at the same time, I see it as like, it's kind of a failing.
Yeah.
Like, we haven't worked it out. It shouldn't be that you're that busy, because that usually, at least for me, it means I'm not working on the really important stuff, and that means I'm not doing a good enough job of managing my time and expectations and other people and help and outsourcing. So it's a reminder of a failing every day. So I use that as like an itch. You know, it's like, I have to fix that. I have to fix it.
Yeah. I mean, my thing, you know, and I'll get more into this in the update, is I'm at the very, very beginning stage again of starting a business. And this is like literally like week three of this thing.
That's so exciting.
And that is really making it crazy busy, obviously. I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on, and a lot of stuff, like, I just have to be busy. There's no real solution right now to, whereas if I'm like a year into this thing, then it's like, okay, let's examine why I'm spending time on these tasks and how can we systematize that and remove myself from them or something like that.
Right. Everything's the first time. You don't have a standard.
Yeah. And it's also like, it's also kind of like scrambling to get a couple first clients in the door, and then scrambling to serve those clients for the first time and get those very first time around on all these things. And it's all happening at the same time. So it's stressful, but it's also a good stress because things are moving.
Yeah. I mean, the worst thing possible. I remember looking at my inbox when Carthook just started, just being like, at one point, eventually, I'm going to hate this email inbox because it's going to be overwhelming. But for now, it's just silent, man. And that's a lot worse than being really busy and trying to juggle. So that's great to hear. So speaking of audience ops, what are we, a few weeks in? Give us the update. What's
yeah, happening? I mean, so I kind of did the, you know, quote unquote, like big reveal on the newsletter and on this podcast last week. And I'd been passing it around to friends a little bit before that. Now it's like, wow, I'm kind of blown away and right deep into it, into like the thick of working in audience ops and building this thing. And I mean, I've been blown away with the number of leads that came through. I mean, I'm getting like 3-4 leads a day and doing, you know, two or three calls a day at this point of potential clients. And literally today we signed three customers have committed to become the three first customers for Audience Ops, and there's a fourth and fifth that are looking pretty likely to come through as well.
So you broke the ice.
It's not totally official, but it's going to happen. So that's really exciting, and that's always a good milestone to get right through that. I'm just glad that it happened this quickly. I didn't quite expect it would happen this fast. And the other thing that a pleasant surprise is how many friends, like actual contacts and friends, are actually becoming clients. It wasn't,
they need it, and why not work with you?
Yeah, it was not really my intention to necessarily sell this to friends, but it is my intention to sell this to B2B online businesses, online products. And it's the SaaS guys, it's the productized services, a couple of like digital download businesses that have been responding really well to this. And that's exactly who I want to be working with, are these like SaaS B2B businesses. So
are you at all worried about the relationship and mixing business and all that?
Yeah. I mean, that's something, it's interesting. In the past, when I was doing web design consulting work, I never liked that. I never liked to work for friends and family. I went out of my way to turn friends and family away, and that actually caused issues with relationships, especially with like family and stuff. But, and I mean, I've done a little bit of work for friends and family over the years, but still, I've never been a fan of it because, frankly, at the height of the freelance consulting stuff with web design, I'm not going to charge family what I charge clients, like thousands of dollars. Like that's not right. And
so off the bat, the relationship isn't work based. It's not purely business. And
yeah,
that's tricky.
Yeah. And there was also the big problem with it in that field was most of those clients didn't really understand the product or the process, going into getting a professional website designed. A lot of them think like, oh, you're a web designer. Oh, it's so easy for you. You can just quickly whip me up a website in a couple of hours.
Grab a theme and make a few changes.
Yeah, or people who are really disconnected from it, like don't really even know what a theme is or what custom design is and what that process is. And so it's just really frustrating when you have to like push back on all these requests and educate clients when they're your friends and family. I had professional ways of doing it with actual clients, but I didn't want to get into that dynamic with friends and family. But now on Audience Ops, on the other hand, and this is still very early on, but so on Audience Ops, what I really enjoy about this is working with friends who do know the process and do know the value of content marketing, and they're online business owners. So they get it. I mean, the reason why they're even talking to me about it is because they get the value proposition. And the other thing that I just really enjoy about this is doing these consultation calls with both people who I know and are friends with, and I've had a bunch of leads come through who I'm meeting for the first time. Some of them have been tuning into the podcast and just kind of, or some just came as through some word of mouth from last week. These consultation calls are very different for me in terms of like a sales call than both with Restaurant Engine, which I did for a few years, a lot of sales calls there. I did plenty of sales calls selling web design over the years. These are very different because it's just really enjoyable to talk to people like, where's your business at? What are you working on right now? How have you been getting customers?
Much closer to a peer in the business sense, someone who's at the same level of sophistication.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's more interesting.
And it's also just a genuine interest on my part. Like I love talking shop with other B2B business owners online, and just to ask them like, where are you at in your launch process, or what's your strategy for this, and
right, what's working, what
yeah.
is
it? And so it's been a really enjoyable process so far, and so now that's where we're at. We have these three clients coming on board this week, next week. I'm kind of scrambling to get the people together and get the processes together to start serving them, while at the same time, we still have a lot of work for Audience Ops itself. We've got to launch the content plan for that. So email course, blog, all that. So Well, before I get into the team part of my update, the other thing when it comes to leads and getting the word out there is I've had a bunch of leads come through. Most of them have been in that B2B SaaS productized service type of crowd, but there have been a few that don't really fit that. Some kind of like B2C, some kind of retail kind of stuff that's just not quite the exact fit in terms of topic and audience. I think they'd be good clients, but it's going to make it a little difficult to get the team on board to cover all these different topics. So for right now, we're really focusing on serving that B2B online business crowd, and I'm kind of turning away some of these other leads that are not an easy thing to do
in the beginning.
Yeah, no. And I mean, there's also a workload aspect. I'm trying to limit that to make sure that we're doing things carefully and getting the process right and making sure the quality is there without getting overloaded all at once. So,
right. So last thing you want to do is get a few clients and kind of disappoint them off the bat because you're overwhelmed by too many projects at the same time.
Yeah.
Cool, yeah. Man.
So the other parts of this, kind of like other moving parts as I'm putting audience ops together, are getting the writing team together. I've interviewed about 8 or 9 different writers, and I've kind of offered the contract writing position to 2 of them so far, and we're going to start working together in the next couple of days. There's going to be a third, maybe a fourth writer in there who will work into the mix for some of the blog articles, but I've got like 2 that I really like so far. And so we're going to kind of ramp that up pretty quickly, I think. As we're getting them on board, I need to really hammer out, like spend a lot of time hammering out processes and, you know, what's step one when we work with a new client and what are the materials that we need to put together and what are the interview questions that we need to ask them and for us to review internally and what's the production process from like topic to lead writer to another writer giving revisions and then a third person doing copy editing. Trying to make a whole streamlined process out of this, but starting from scratch, like right now, like piece by piece.
So you're trying to map it out based on what your best guess is of what the process will look like, and then kind of make adjustments as you go through the process a few times.
Yeah, I've done this type of work and processes before, like within my businesses, but now I'm trying to make it as I'm trying to just think through it strategically from day one, you know, and try to get a plan together. While scheduling with new people and just, you know, just juggling a lot of different balls in the air at the same time. It's kind of tricky. The other piece that I haven't really started looking into quite yet is I'll need to hire another VA, like a VA specifically to work on audience ops to handle a lot of the nuts and bolts of posting blog articles, formatting email newsletters, social media updates, reporting, and that sort of stuff. So, and I, frankly, we were talking about this, like, I don't have the time. I'm so busy, but I need to get someone in for that. So, looking at possibly a virtual staff finder. I've heard some pretty good things about that. They kind of do the work of finding and vetting candidates for you. So,
I agree. I've heard good things as well.
Yeah. So I'll probably give that a try. And then the other things that I've been working on is kind of the nuts and bolts of putting the productized consulting service together, right? So one of these is project management. And I started evaluating 3 or 4 different project management tools. I mean, Basecamp I've used before. I know that pretty well, but it lacks some of the features that I need. The one that I'm kind of landing on for now is Teamwork, teamwork.com.
Oh, yeah. Which I think, they're an Irish company, aren't they?
I don't know. I think they used to be called Teamwork PM. Mm-hmm. But they seem to, I started using it and I like it so far. It's pretty feature heavy. It seems pretty bloated, and that used to really turn me off with project management apps, but it does cover a lot of the bases that I think we'll need for this type of service to come together. Like it's obviously it's got like tasks and it's got embedded like subtasks. I like that you can easily create templates and reuse templates. So as we're like doing the same service again and again for clients, we can just, you know, reuse the same processes. They've got these things like Gantt charts, which helped to like map out the process and make things contingent on like, you can't start like I can't have the copy editor work on that task until the article is drafted.
Right.
And one kind of triggers the other. So there's a lot of that's all hooked up within teamwork that I like. It's also got like time tracking, which I'll have the team do. That'll be another piece that I really need to kind of keep an eye on in these early days as I start to learn exactly how many hours does each of these tasks take on average, so that I can get a realistic sense of the cost structure in the business and the pricing and kind of get that nailed down. That'll take a few weeks to really figure out.
Yeah, that's guesswork. Even once you start rolling, like between one project and another, it might not be the same. These are the different pieces that need to come into play.
Yeah.
Project management.
And then like another piece is actually proposals, right? So even though it's a productized service, and even though we have set pricing and set scopes, I did want to use a proposal solution, and I looked at a couple of them. Looked at BidSketch. I used to create my own proposals. I had a little product for that called WP Bids, but I ended up using a newer one of these SaaS companies out there called Nusii.com, and just a really nice looking, simple, clean proposal software. I really like them so far. I started using them, and having the productized service makes it really, just makes it a lot easier to create and send proposals really fast, because it's essentially the same service, the same set of options for all clients. I'm just kind of personalizing the proposal a little bit for each individual person. And it just kind of gives them something that I think at this price level, you need to kind of personally, obviously I'm doing a personal consultation with everyone, and then I want to personally send them something that they can look at and review with their team, even though they can see all the information on the website. At least giving them a proposal is something that they can look at and they can act on, you know. So that's the proposals piece. And then the final piece is, and I had to get this, I kind of scrambled to get this set up as we're getting the first few clients in, is a way for them to pay and get enrolled, you know, in retainers. And so obviously I wanted to use Stripe for that. So on the site, I set up some special pages, some like purchase pages, and got like quickly set up the Stripe account, got that activated. And then I used Phil Dirksen's plugin called Stripe Checkout Pro, which is really great. That's at wpstripe.net. Really worked out great. I was able to get up and running literally within about an hour using his plugin to get a simple, you know, purchase now, and it's got all the features that you actually need if you're going to take subscriptions, if you need a coupon code, if you need the person to select from a few different options, you can really quickly and easily just slap a Stripe purchase button on your site using his plugin.
Nice. So you've gone full legit. You've got the ability to accept payments. You've got things, proposals ready to go. And it's great to hear about Nusii. I came across their product maybe a year ago, and it was super raw. And
yeah, I was talking to those guys, and they just started. Yeah.
Yeah, it's awesome. Good for them.
Yeah, so that's just basically my update. I'm trying to get all these different pieces together and doing it really quickly. But I'm just really excited that we have the first few milestones passed.
Yeah, well, we can see why you're busy. You're doing a lot of this stuff ahead of time where you could put some of this off, but it sounds to me like you have enough feedback from the market. Like it is a real business. You're not going to go out there and not get any clients. And so it's not like you're doing a lot of this for no reason.
I
think it makes sense.
Yeah, like the things like doing proposals and setting up a Stripe checkout and project management. I think part of it is just that I've done this so many times before, that for me, it's just really fast for me to set something like this up. Whereas I know most people don't have the experience like with developing a website and you know, and quickly like installing a plugin and configuring it. I think for most people that takes a little bit longer, and that makes it not a necessary step,
right?
To stand in between you and charging a client. In my case, I've been doing this stuff for years. It's just really fast for me to do it, so might as well.
Yeah, that makes sense. If it's not going to take up a bunch of your time, you don't need to find someone to pay to do it for you, then may as well do it ahead of time.
Yep.
Cool, man.
Yeah.
Pretty cool. So we're looking forward to hearing when that first you know, first payment hits and it's official and it's real. I'm curious to see what your marketing looks like and your content, considering I feel like you must have a little bit of added pressure. Like, you're a content marketing agency. Your content marketing needs to be good.
Yeah, it needs to be solid. And that's right. It's definitely going to be, it's going to be a challenge. So the stuff about setting up our processes, I'm also thinking of like some like really high level goals around what the service is looking like. Because in these early days, like, this is when you get to define really like what your values are as a service provider. And you know, one of these things that's kind of sticking out of my mind is that, like, by delivering content marketing, we are like the voice, like in some ways we're kind of like the voice of the brand that we're serving. Like, we're teaching their customers, we're putting content out on their site. And I need to think of this like, I need to be proud enough to put this on my own site if it were my business. I feel like it's a big responsibility. So I'm mapping out ways to have, like, you know, a lead writer on something and then have another writer give like three ways to make this thing better. And then I do the same thing. And then we'll have a separate copy editor to spot any proofreading. So we're really kind of putting a lot of resources into each and every article for that goal of just making it not the alternative to doing it yourself. It has to be like a lot better than doing it yourself, you know?
Right. And I imagine the beginning of the relationship is really important to build up that trust, to involve them in the process, the first few articles. And then as the trust builds, you can kind of start doing things with less approval and they'll be happy. Once they know, oh, you're taking care of my brand and my voice, you know, then you can feel free. I don't need to check every single word that you guys are putting out there. That's the ideal, I guess.
The first month is a big investment into researching the customer. Like, we're doing interviews with the founder and with their customer support team and with their customers. They'll connect us to their customers. We'll interview them. So, and we're giving the client a whole report on our customer research for them. And that helps them with their product, but we're also using it to plan their content and their editorial calendar and that kind of stuff. So just a lot of moving parts and trying to put these pieces together, and it's just a lot of fun. I'm enjoying it.
Nice, Ben. It's great to hear. So that's a solid update. I don't think I have nearly as much to talk about. For me, two things, two podcasts got released today that I joined my buddies over at Talking Code.
And, oh yeah, and, yeah, Venkat, yeah, I know that.
Yeah, Venkat, that's right, and Josh, and I went on there. They, by coincidence, you introduced me to them, and by coincidence, Venkat sits next to Ben, my co-founder.
Oh, that's right. That's crazy.
Like, completely absurd coincidence. So what they did is they interviewed me about how to find a technical co-founder,
yep.
And then they interviewed Ben on how to find a business guy, essentially. So you get like two sides of the same partnership.
Was that the same episode? Or
no, my episode came out today, and I think Ben's comes out like next week or something. So you get both sides, like the marketing guy talking about how I found a technical co-founder, and then you have Ben, like a product and tech guy, on like, why did you partner with this business guy? So it's kind of like you get both sides of it from the horse's mouth on both sides. So I think that could be a cool, interesting thing, depending on if you're technical or not.
Yeah,
you might
definitely
be more interested in one or the other.
I was talking to Venkat when he was putting the podcast together, like the concept behind it and all, and it's really cool. So Talking Code, it's basically about talking code for like non-developers and for people working in businesses and getting and being able to communicate with developers and knowing the right questions to ask and that kind of stuff. So very cool.
Very helpful, especially for non-technical people. It's really just that intersection between the tech and non-tech and how they need each other and how to deal with each side. So that came out today. You can find that at talkingcode.com. And another one, our good buddies at Rogue Startups that run Podcast Motor that we work with, they just did an episode. I joined them, and we talked about an interesting topic, leaving a high-paying job for the startup world. You know, I used to work in investment banking and left, and Craig also has like a high-paying sales job, and he's trying to leave. So all the risks and rewards and the difficulty around saying no and walking away from, you know, a relatively guaranteed salary for the inherent uncertainty of the startup world. So we talked about that. Now you can find it roguestartups.com. So those two just came out today. So that's been cool.
Yeah, very cool. I've been a fan of Craig's podcast, Rogue Startups, what him and Dave are doing, and his other one, Nights and Weekends, I just started listening to. It's been cool to hear his progress, Craig's progress on Podcast Motor, of course, but also what Ken is doing over there with Mastermind Jams is a pretty cool concept as well. So
I haven't found that one yet. I'm gonna check that out.
Yeah, a little site that helps you put together a mastermind or get into a mastermind.
Right. Yeah, that's a great concept. That was a big hit at MicroConf.
Yep.
A lot of people talked about it.
Yeah, totally.
Cool. Yeah, speaking of multiple podcasts, I think I'm going to start a Carthook podcast that's much more focused on e-commerce.
Nice.
Yeah, and this experience and kind of seeing what Craig has been doing and Podcast Motor, just the fact that Podcast Motor exists as a service allows me, otherwise I would look at it and say, even if that's a good idea, I just simply won't do it. I won't get it done. I don't have the time to do everything surrounding launching a new podcast and then keeping up with it every week. But just the fact that Podcast Motor exists as an option makes me much more likely to do it.
Totally.
That didn't intend to be like a commercial for them, but that's pretty much the best possible commercial. That's the actual pain point, is it not?
Yeah, it totally is. So the podcast that you would start out for Carthook, is that going to be like an interview thing? Like, you're going to interview e-commerce owners, or?
Yeah, I'm playing with the exact format, but you know, the right thing to keep in mind, I'm sure you're dealing with this in audience ops. The right thing to keep in mind is, who's my target customer, and what are they going to find valuable? So that's it. I just think, okay, I think about the guys in the e-commerce fuel forum, right? People who are into e-commerce that are not at the very beginning stages and at the same time don't work for a gigantic billion-dollar company. These people in between who are very growth-minded, what are they going to find useful? So I could see a situation where interviewing an e-commerce store owner about what's working for them right now, what they're doing, that could be valuable. At the same time, speaking with like an SEO consultant on what's happening with SEO with e-commerce right now, that could be valuable also. So I don't know if it's going to be very strict on the type of guest. It's just going to be strict in the format of like, let's no bullshit, just the meat. Say who you are, intro for 2 minutes, and then what's working for you right now in e-commerce. Let's dig into that, and that's the value I want to give.
I think that's the way to go. Is I think unless you have a co-host, which that could be an option too, is like find another e-commerce expert, maybe someone who complements you, and co-host and kind of do like a very tight like topic, teaching something about e-commerce every time. That requires a little bit more prep to make work. But I think the interview format really works well as well, because you know I think if you're an e-commerce owner, you're probably going to tune into the e-commerce interviews on Mixergy and tune out of the other ones. You know, people like to hear case studies of people who are just like them or on the same path, you know?
Right. Whatever's most, I have the same experience with Mixergy. I love, but a lot of the interviews I don't listen to because they're not that applicable to my situation. So, you know, even though that turns out to be wrong on Mixergy because the stories are so good. The other piece of the podcast strategy that is really interesting for interviews, the beauty of interviewing other people, first of all, it's such an amazing thing, podcasting, because because it's live. It's not like, will you do a guest post for my blog? This is, would you be interested in being a guest on my podcast? Is almost like, at least right now in 2015, that's like an honor. That's like, oh, I'm
right
of high enough status to be interviewed? I would love to. So everyone says yes. And then when it gets published, what do you think is going to happen? They're going to sit on it and not tell anyone?
Yeah, exactly.
No,
yeah.
Right. You're going to reach into their audience at the same time. So everyone gives everybody else value and everyone benefits, everyone elevates.
It really is. It's a total win-win for both the guest and the host. And it's also in many ways even better than like blog content, because a podcast, if you have the audience there and it's the type of audience that really tunes into podcasts, it's really, really effective. And the business audience is that audience for sure. Because, I mean, you can listen to it while you're out, while you're driving, when you're walking. And that actually gives you, like, you have much more attention span than like a tweet that comes across your desktop or on your phone, you know, when you're in the middle of other things. and you just get
someone's voice.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I've seen that with the podcast that I listen to. Like, I'm much more tuned into the stuff that the guys are working on that I tune into than the handful of blogs that I subscribe to in RSS. You know.
Yeah, it's right now. It's a way to, you know, to go above the noise. There are a lot of podcasts, but there aren't that many podcasts in every niche. There's an interesting Rainmaker episode, you know, Brian Clark. They talked about like how just the trust that's built through podcasts is very different from everything else. You're listening to someone's voice, it's intimate, you hear the confidence in their voice. And that flows through everything. That flows through being okay with paying a higher price because you trust the person more. It's really so that's where that's one of if I have limited time and limited resources, I have decided that is a worthwhile investment, and I think it can be for a lot of different businesses.
Yeah, I think the thing with podcasting for you and for anyone who's starting it up is you have to be willing to put in the months before you're going to see anything from it. Like it takes so long you just need that longevity to start really gaining traction. Unless you can really engineer the launch, which we've heard a couple of people talk about that, which, you know, you should really look into, like Adam Clark talking about how you can try to get on that New and Noteworthy and all that. But beyond that, it's publishing week in, week out and on a consistent schedule and being okay with not hearing any comments or reviews right away because it takes a while for that stuff to start rolling in.
So I agree, but that looks at the podcast in isolation. If you're going to launch a podcast, you need to be willing to wait a long time before it gets traction. But if a podcast is one piece of your content mix, you don't have to wait. I mean, what do you think I'm going to do when a podcast episode comes out? I'm not going to notify my customers
and the
people on the email list. So you do get a benefit of building the relationship with existing customers and people on your list. And it's also something to publish on the blog. So it does give you content. Right now, I'm almost like, I feel guilty, man. I don't publish content. I feel stupid. I have this expertise. I don't share it. So just that alone is a benefit. So yes, the podcast itself is going to take a while to kind of get some footing. But it does give you benefit right away in terms of building the relationships, building trust, having something quality to send out to your email. I even now inject in our lifecycle emails, like, hey, after 2 weeks of Carthook, here are your results. I insert like a PS, hey, I did an interview recently on Mixergy, you might find it useful. So it just gives you more quality stuff to provide that isn't self-serving. Well,
it's
so true. Serving in a way, but it's still quality.
But it's so true, and that's a great point that you can give more content, whether it's podcast episodes or anything else, to customers or to existing subscribers who haven't become customers yet. It's that whole like customer success thing, right? Like a lot of people are talking about this now. Is it's not just about getting them into your app and fixing that specific pain point that they purchased your app for. It's really making them successful with it. Like, yeah, they might be using it or they started to use it, but now they need to really thrive with it. And I think to a large extent, that's teaching. You have to teach people how to be successful with it. Like, you know, my friend Robert Williams, who's running Let's Workshop, he was on the show a couple weeks ago. He basically runs a lead generation service for freelancers, for freelance web developers. That solves the pain right there. Like freelance web developers need more leads. But he noticed that they also need to be more successful with those leads. So he wrote a book on how to email leads effectively, you know, and that's what he blogs about. And so he's, you know, that's what customer success is all about. It's just like following up and making people, you know, be awesome with your product.
Yeah. And it's not, I try to go beyond the product itself. So yes, here's a better way to optimize your abandoned cart campaign. But I want to shock people with the value that goes beyond the product. So one of the interviews I did that I send out is just about optimizing your store in general. So you come across what looks like a very niche product for abandoned carts on your e-commerce store. And then all of a sudden you start to get value on the checkout process and on optimization and how I grew a store to $500,000 in the first year and like all this other stuff that's affects the rest of your business. And all of a sudden people are like grateful And that changes the relationship entirely. It's not like, oh, you're like this niche thing that I might add onto my store or not. Like in reality, actually, I want you to pay me $250 a month to do that. So if I want that, you need to give the goods.
Yeah, totally. I mean, it's all about reaching them on all these different topics that they're already reading anyway. Like you said, it's not just about the product. It's about, you know, they're already searching for answers to what is the best e-commerce platform to use when you're just starting up, or how to optimize category pages on an e-commerce site. Like these aren't directly related to Carthook, but your customers definitely care about them, and they might be searching for that and find that in social media today and get on your list today and start getting value from you. And then a few months from now, they already know, or they already know you as the company to do, you know, to do that, like the ongoing optimization. So
yeah, they just look to you as an expert once you solidify it.
Yep. And my wife and daughter just walked into the studio here.
Well, we knew it was a freewheeling bootstrap web episode, so may as well just go with it.
Yep.
Cool. I know you're heading off to the beach, which is nice. That's really nice.
Yeah, I'm going to do some dinner and drinks down at the beach. It's finally getting nice around here in the Northeast. Finally. So.
Yeah, miserable bastards after this winter. Oh my God. Cool, man. Besides that, my only other update is things are changing. I can feel it all over the place. The level of organization and just professional approach that is required now to find success is just going up. There's just a lot more stuff and more customers and more feature requests and more to do and more direct things pulling in different directions. And it just feels like if we just keep doing things the same way, it's just going to fall out of control.
Yeah. And you've got people in place and more people coming in. So it's,
yeah, it's like, okay, now I kind of understand my job better. Like, oh, I'm the one responsible for organizing this. It's not like, oh, I hope this all works out. Actually, that's on me. So that's been very interesting, and it's pressure, but it's good. It's like, okay, time to perform.
Yeah. I heard a few different people quote this in different ways, but that the founder or the manager, like their main job is just to remove roadblocks from their team. It's like your whole job at this point is to look to your team and say, how can I make your job a lot easier? You know?
Right. Like you are doing something really important, and how do we make sure you focus on that and finish.
And like you're not waiting on me to give approval for things, or you're not, or there just no hurdles standing in your way. So cool.
Nice, man. Well, maybe we should do some freewheeling episodes more often. I think this was great.
Yeah, I think this was awesome. We should, you know, we've been talking about just doing more kind of update random topics and less prep and just talk. So that's probably what we'll be doing for the next few weeks. Cause frankly, you and I both, we don't really have much time except for just hitting record.
Yeah. And unless you guys out there have something specific to ask, and I'm sure topics will come up as we work on them.
Yeah, we got to do another Q&A show at some point.
Agreed. But that wraps it up for us. If you want to head over to bootstrapweb.com, you'll find a backlog of episodes. We'd love for you to subscribe in Stitcher, iTunes, or your neighborhood podcast provider. And of course, those 5-star reviews in iTunes really help. So we appreciate anyone that can do that for us.
Yes, sir. And this episode was sponsored by Podcast Motor. Head over there and tell them that Bootstrap Web sent you, and Craig will hook you up. All right, guys. Well, thank you for tuning in. And Jordan, talk to you next week.
Cheers, man. Enjoy the beach.
Later.